from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Bears.
You better get on the Bears right now. You better get on the Bears.
Oh,
the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming.
There's an energy in this building.
You know, history's the history. I'm done talking about it. We're bringing players in here that want to really just change everything up and do things a different way.
I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, top 5 defense that we had last year.
Bears are coming.
Bear down, baby.
Let's go win the Super Bowl. Bear down.
Bear down. Let's go.
Bring it. What?
We're here. We're here.
They're here. They're in practice at Halas Hall. Mark Grody of the full report in an hour. Dave Wannstedt was also at that practice. He joins us straight up at 5 o'clock. John Morosi in 25 minutes. Jeff Passan had a story about the trade market absolutely cratering for Garrett Crochet, given the contract extension request that him and his agency, CAA, have apparently put forward. We will talk about that in just a little bit. But Caleb Williams is obviously going to get a ton of airtime on Hard Knocks and everything. We'll never have to wonder for the next few years when the Bears are on national TV, like who they're going to put on the graphic. Like it was DJ Moore for a while, and sometimes it was a defensive player. So you never knew. Then Justin Fields, obviously, for a little bit. You never knew exactly who they were going to do. Caleb is going to be the interview request that every national outlet that goes to training camp is going to be at. And Sirius, as the official, you know, radio partner of the NFL, they do their training camp tour, and the Bears were their first stop. Bears, one of the first teams to report to training camp because of the Hall of Fame game, which is coming up soon. But the Move and the Change show on Sirius XM, it actually had a couple of familiar voices with Jeff Joniak and Jim Miller. They sat down with Caleb Williams, and he talked about living up to expectations of being the starting quarterback of the Bears.
How about for you personally? Like for me, obviously, I played quarterback here. And, you know, since I've covered the team, whether it's Jay Cutler, whether it's Rex Grossman, a lot of guys feel vilified, you know, at the quarterback position. I know when I played here at quarterback, it wasn't what I experienced at all. I mean, it was just an incredible experience of the passionate fan base and everything. And how has that been like for you? Because it's been an unorthodox, you know, through the draft and how you approached everything. And now you're here, you know, and how you're being embraced. Because, you know, like I said, some other quarterbacks have felt differently. I never experienced that. It's been wonderful. And I think you're approaching it the right way.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been embraced. I make sure that, I mean, I've said it multiple times that I'm going to embrace the situation. I'm going to embrace, you know, the fans, the community, my teammates and things like that. I care. And so I think the things and steps that I've taken so far is shown exactly what I've said, that, you know, I'm going to go out there and embrace, you know, being out there. I care about ball. I care about winning. I care about my teammates, and I also care about, you know, the fans and the community.
Let me ask you about that, because Jalen Johnson obviously made his Hollywood comment, and I talked to him about that, and he said, no, it wasn't like that, and he has spoken to you and all that. But, you know, maybe the perception of you, and now you're here, because, and I noticed this at the draft when Pat and I talked to you at the draft, you're real, you're genuine, and you're authentic. And I think that really bodes well for you, and it bodes well for this fan base.
Yep.
And how to approach it.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody always has their own opinions. I think you would know that from playing. And, you know, you're not out here to...
It's in your face all the time.
Yeah.
You see a Bears hat or a Bears coat.
And, yeah.
bumper sticker when you pull up to the stoplight.
Yeah, but you know, you don't sit back and, you know, kind of feel like you should, you know, feel some type of way about it. I think, you know, you, like I said before, you sit back, you embrace it, you understand the position that you're in, that we're in, and you work towards, you know, winning games. You work towards building this bond between your teammates and trust between your teammates, and I think that goes a long way. And then, you know, from there on out, like I said, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, please everybody. I'm trying to. You can't please everybody. You know, you're trying to make sure you go out there and win games, and only, you know, please, you know, your family members, your teammates, the coaches, because those are people that know, you know, whether you're in here at 6 a.m. all the way till, you know, 8. And so just getting after it, enjoying it, embracing that and my teammates.
How is it for you? You know, last year, obviously, Bryce Young, what he went through. How do you not put too much pressure on yourself? I've lived in your shoes. This town can be a pressure cooker, but if you're working hard, you keep your mouth shut, they'll love you. They'll love you. You know, but for you, how do you not put too much pressure on yourself? Because you're kind of anointed here.
Pressure isn't a word that I use in my vocabulary, really, only when other people talk about it. And every time that you'll hear me speak about pressure is that I don't think that pressure is a thing. As long as you prepare for the moment mentally and physically, get in here, work, get after it, whether it's weight room, film room, and then get on the field and work. And then obviously game days, get out there and go be special. And so, you know, I think, you know, pressure comes from not being ready. Pressure comes from not having confidence. And I think, preparation's everything. That's what coach says. And so, you know, just getting after it, enjoying the process, challenging myself. The coach is challenging me, responding, you know, and just, you know, learning and soaking up all the information that I can. And then when we get out there, you know, just be free, have fun, communicate, and let it fly.
The guy seems so sure of himself, right? Like, you know, I don't love judging press conferences or anything like that, but it's just, as we're trying to get to know this kid, Jim Miller is a really good media guy. I mean, I've disagreed with his thoughts sometimes over the years, whatever, doesn't matter. He's very good at it. Like, he knows what his opinion are. He works hard. He does games. He does radio shows. He's an analyst. Like, he's good at it. But if you were going to just listen to those two guys have a conversation, it didn't seem like Jim Miller was 30 years older than Caleb Williams. Just the level of assurance in Caleb's voice and conviction in who he is, it's pretty amazing. It's almost disarming of like, wait, man, I know that. I mean, I'm sure he has some insecurity. Almost everybody does. But I know I still do at 37. Most people, not everyone will admit it, but most people have insecurities. That guy does not seem to really traffic in the space of insecurity very much. Like, whether he's telling the truth or not, or whether he knows what he doesn't know in terms of, like, pressure isn't in his vocabulary, it's a good line, and yeah, things will surprise him in the NFL, he'll have struggles. But for him to just have the confidence to express himself in that way, I think it's becoming more common for young people in the spotlight to be that mature. I mean, Roman Dunze seems to be pretty damn mature. But that is just a level of self-assuredness that is very, very hard to achieve at any stage in life, much less 22 years old. Caleb continued with the Sirius crew, the Move and the Chain show on Sirius XM, on on-field stuff, the weapons, working on throws, basically, you know, the football.
I'll tell you what is pleasing to everybody on your team, the targets, is the way you throw the football. One of the guys told me it doesn't matter what level, it is such a catchable football. And, you know, that's an unbelievable compliment to you, but it has to do with accuracy, it has to do with timing, it has to do with touch on the ball. This is clearly something you've worked on your whole life. Do you feel that way, that your balls are catchable balls? Doesn't matter if it's a 50-yarder or a swing pass to the backfield.
Yeah, there's always a thing that all the Qs know is KYP, know your personnel. So that goes into it. And then also just working out, you know, throughout the years, and this, you know, this I guess my first off season in a way, is working on the things that, you know, may happen on a seam ball. You may have to work a little, you know, a little arc over the backer with a little touch, and then sometimes you don't. Sometimes you can rip it. And so, you know, just working on, you know, the different type of throws, a different type of touch, and then knowing your personnel and how to throw to them and what's their most catchable ball and how they like to, you know, how they like to, you know, see it, you know, coming in and things like that.
Well, we've talked about it a lot, the weaponry that is around you and this offense. And so now that's from paper to the field. You can appreciate it. I always feel like as a point guard, quarterback, whatever you want to call it, somebody's going to be open because these guys are all talented at the backfield, tight end, wide receiver. What are your experiences with that and the whole idea of the one ball, many weapons? I know fans are like, oh, my God, how's he going to make everybody happy? This is a selfless group of guys, though.
Yeah.
I can tell that already.
Yeah, I'd say let's start it off there is that these guys are really selfless. They care about each other. That goes into, you know, how they were raised, obviously, but also understanding the situation that we're in. Everybody wants to win. You know, when you catch 10 passes and you still lose, you know, it still stings. And so, you know, you may get 8 passes and we go win the game. And so, you know, the thing that I'm also learning and getting better at and things that I've been learning over the past years, I've been in offense like Lincoln Riley is, you know, I spread the ball around. I don't think that you can go back and necessarily, you know, pick out one receiver throughout my career and was like, you know, that guy had 100-something catches. You know, I try and give my guys the best shot and with the ball and then let them, you know, be special when they catch the pass. And so something I'm still learning, like I said, is spreading the ball early in the game, keeping the guys engaged, and then, you know, second half going to go win the game.
It's ridiculous, Jeff.
Yes, it is.
My entire college career, 17 touchdown passes. This guy had 30 in like 6 games last year.
Yeah, he was better than you, Jim. He was better than you.
You want me to be a wet blanket? I'll be your wet blanket today if you want me to.
I was Danny yesterday.
I'll take the burden today.
All right.
I like Caleb Williams, but
oh my God, what are you guys doing to me?
He is saying nothing that any other rookie quarterback wouldn't say. He's just very well spoken, so it comes off like, oh, he's so ready for the NFL. He might be ready on the handling the media portion, but there's nothing he's saying that's like, damn, he's creating a new way to talk about football. Like, he sees things other people don't. It's not true. He's just saying it better.
Well, okay, but that is at least a part of it.
Sure. He's not stupid. That's wonderful.
That's good.
Good.
That's a good baseline.
Bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
They drafted someone who's not stupid. That being said, he's just saying the right things the right way.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I he is saying things the right way. That's all he can do in an interview. And listen, man, part of this, of being in the pressure cooker of the big leagues, the big city, the big media, all that stuff, is like, he's got to speak twice a week. Minimum, right? He's going to do his Wednesday press conference, and he's going to speak postgame at the podium. That's 2 times. That's not including if he does a radio show, if he does national appearances. He'll be the guy that gets interviewed on all of the feature, right? He'll be interviewed on Sunday Night Football's pregame show. Like, he will have 2 to 3, 2 minimum, probably 4 maximum, high-profile media appearances a week. And being able to handle it and not create distraction, not create headlines, not piss anyone off, not be intimidated by it, it's not the biggest thing. It's one of the smaller things. But we've seen other guys struggle with it. Mitch wasn't great at it. It led to him being mocked in some ways. Texters picked up on something that I should have commented on from Jim Miller when he said, you know, if you, the city will embrace you if you keep your mouth shut and just keep your head down and go to work. That's a pretty old school mentality. I don't think Chicago is going to turn on Caleb Williams for being outspoken if he becomes outspoken.
You also can't do that, number one, in this market, number two, in the modern media age. You can't be quiet. If you want to be a superstar, you have to say things.
But you can be, yes, I agree with that, and he wants to be a superstar, but I think Caleb's going to grow into it. Like, I think that the Caleb that we get in year 3, after he's had some success in the NFL, in terms of making headlines, sharing his opinion, is going to be different than the guy that we get in week 3.
I think generally, too, like a lot of the top quarterbacks in the league, most of them, I would say you would put them in the category of they keep their mouth shut. Like, I hate the Mahomes comparison, but you look at him, it's like he doesn't – he's not incredibly, you know, just out there, and, you know, he doesn't give other teams bulletin board material.
Talks a lot but says very little.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what that means, you know?
Like, yeah.
Not creating distractions, you know,
yeah,
for your team in a negative way.
No, I mean, I get on Carrington, so he gets Mahomes weekly, and I'm like, hey, when are you going to make news? You got one of the most famous people in the world on your show every week for 10 minutes. And I never, you know, I occasionally see headlines come out of it. But I'm like, come on, man. He's like, dude, he says nothing. And then I listen to the interviews and he says nothing.
Oh, he gets them once a week?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's too bad.
Yeah, we get him every day.
It's true. That's too bad that he only gets them once a week, once every 5 days.
Yeah. It's impressive.
He's right. Hey, Pat. He's right back there. He's just hanging out, waiting to talk later.
We'll talk to him later.
About the Raiders.
Yeah, we're going to get a...
pissed, dude.
Oh, yeah?
Brittany's here with him today.
Oh, well,
to make sure that he's okay.
So is that why he's pissed?
Yeah.
Got it. Before we talk to John Morosi coming up at 3:30, Jeff Passan wrote a story today on ESPN+, and it was about how this trade deadline is shaping up to be very uneventful. The Randy Rosarena trade maybe will be the biggest trade that any team makes of this deadline, and it just went down. It said that, you know, Vlad Guerrero not on the market, no one's meeting the price on Robert, the pitcher for the Tigers doesn't look like they're going to part with him. Why am I forgetting?
Tarek Skubal.
Yeah, Skubal, thank you. That seems like it's going to be a pretty quiet deadline. But he basically said that Crochet and his agency, which is CAA, one of the most powerful agencies in sports and entertainment in the world, if not the most powerful, kind of shocked the baseball world yesterday with their request or threat, however you want to frame it, that if a team trades for him, he wants a contract extension before he will agree to pitch in October. If you give him the contract extension, he'll pitch in October, either in the rotation, out of the bullpen, he'll do whatever you want to do. If you don't give him a contract extension, he is going to refuse to come out of the bullpen, pitch every 5 days, and then shut it down because he will surpass and shatter his previous record for innings pitched. And so he, kind of like what Josh Hader did, what Tyler Glass now did, those sort of things. Now, Hader, obviously much more accomplished as a relief pitcher. Crochet, all-star for one season as a starter, but kind of an out-of-nowhere success story. And then Glass now had stacked multiple good years before he got the five-year, $130-plus million contract extension. But, you know, Passan describes Getz as a deal-maker in the story, and he writes this, though, quote, "But the likelier outcome is that Chicago revisits moving him this winter, provided Crochet makes it through the last 2 months of the season healthy." End quote. Says teams aren't meeting the price on Robert. Eric Fetty will go, but that it ultimately is going to be a pretty quiet deadline for the whole league and the White Sox specifically because of this thing with Crochet. So I read that as they want to trade Crochet, but now the industry doesn't want to trade for Crochet because they want two more years of cheap control without having to give him an extension. And how is it a small market team isn't going to trade for him because they're not going to pay him what he would want. So that removes some teams from being possible to trade from him. And big market teams with a ton of money aren't going to trade for him because they don't know if he'll pitch in October and they want to see him perform and get through a whole year before they give him an extension. This, I get where Crochet and his people are coming from. I obviously do. But this seems to set up a pretty bad scenario for the White Sox to me. Like, if they wanted to trade him and now they can't trade him, they've got two more months of injury risk on their hands of Garrett Crochet pitching in meaningless baseball games. And so if he gets hurt,
you can't live like that, though. You can't live like that.
But they are prepared to trade him in a week.
But you can't.
I understand that. But before this request, before 24 hours ago, it read like they were prepared to trade Garrett Crochet. They wanted to trade him. Whether or not we think that they should have or shouldn't have, it seemed like they were going to. according if you believe Jeff Passan's reporting. And now he says they probably won't be able to. So that means he's going to pitch the rest of the year for you, which is exciting for White Sox fans that are still locked in and watching the game. He's an exciting player to watch. He's the success story of your season. But it's two more months of risk. He's pitching in meaningless games. And he says they're going to revisit trading him in the offseason. So it just strikes me as a risky situation for the White Sox. Through no fault of their own. Like, if he pitches for you in August and September and gets hurt, your trade value for him will plummet. But you're not going to shut him down, because the whole point is showcasing that he can go a whole season so that you could get maximum value for him. Now, of course, you could solve all of these problems by just signing him to an extension yourself.
Correct.
But we know they're not going to do that.
And that's why we don't want to watch them anymore.
Okay.
That's why we don't want to be White Sox fans anymore. Okay. I'm not saying we, like Tanny and I. I'm talking about the White Sox fan collective. That's why we don't want to do it. Because there's no dedication to the talent. There's no dedication to the tech. There's no dedication to development. There's no dedication to the fan. That's why we don't want to do it.
Okay, but we can't change any of that.
Watch me.
Okay, it's impressive what you could do. But I mean, I wouldn't trade for Garrett Crochet now either if I was another team.
No, definitely not.
I feel like it changes. 24 hours ago, they were going to trade him. Now they won't trade him or be able to trade him. And so you're going to have him, which is good. You're better with him, but you're still 50 games under 500. So my guess is Getz is pretty pissed about this development. Just because if his plan was, now you'll, as long as he's healthy, you'll get a ton for him in the offseason. There's still 2 years of control left. And hey, you can argue that if he gets through this year and doesn't get injured, you'll get even more for him, because you'll answer the question of, hey, look, he was able to pitch every 5 days for a whole season. So there's an I'm presenting the downside. There's an upside. You could get more. More teams are in it. More teams are open for business. He proves he can get through 162 games. But I would be, given how little the games mean, I'd be holding my breath every time the guy pitches in August and September, because the upside is not much higher. He's awesome. You're going to be able to get a lot for him because he's cheap. The downside of if he gets hurt, and I know he's already had the Tommy John surgery the one time, but if he gets hurt, whew, could submarine your value. And just from an entertainment point and how terrible these two teams are, like, we'll talk to Morosi in a few minutes, but like, it's a bad deadline. The Cubs aren't going to be able to do anything. And now the White Sox, the biggest thing they'll do is trade Eric Fetty. It's going to be a boring trade deadline around here. I was hoping for some sort of excitement and life injected into this Chicago baseball season that we've had.
No, you weren't.
I mean, you know, at least until
it's not your MO.
At least until the Hall of Fame game. At least until a little preseason football got underway. You know what I mean?
You took off the day before the trade deadline next week.
That's deadline's Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm off on Monday.
Yeah, Bernstein in with Spiegs.
Yeah, Bernstein
pulling a double.
Pulling the 8-hour shift.
8-hour radio show.
That's nothing. I'm doing 24 a couple of weeks after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have I mentioned that yet? Have I mentioned it? Talking about it a little bit. John Morosi on what he's hearing about Garrett Crochet's demands and if Tyone or others are on the market. He better not mention our guy Nico Horner to the Yankees. I'll get very upset. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email.
Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Hey, John boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
JP can provide some clarity as to what went on. JP.
Bob, I will do my best.
Columnist for MLB.com.
Morosi. Where is Jeff Passan in all of this?
Here's John Morosi.
Where is Jeff Passan?
Should we just call Jeff Passan right now?
Yes, just call him.
Fox Sports baseball contributor.
JP Morosi had it first. How you feeling, Padres fans?
MLB Network insider.
Although you look at the Cubs, they've been at or near the bottom of the NL Central for a while, and you consider where they're at the moment, I would mention two names right now, Jameson Taillon and Nico Hoerner.
John Morosi.
I'm so happy, I can't lie to you. It's the best moment of my life. All the fans who are here supporting me means the world.
With Parkinson Spiegel.
Sources confirm that's fun.
On 670 The Score.
Tonight, the Cubs begin their road trip in Kansas City against the Royals. Pre-game coverage, 6:35. First pitch, 7:10. On the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Also tonight, Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live, 6 to 6:30. Bears Training Camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Cubs. Grody in 30 minutes, and we have Dave Wannstedt in 90 minutes. We'll have John Morosi in a minute. The Cubs can't run back the same team next year. Their offense isn't good enough. But the problem is, where on the diamond can you inject a better bat? Like, where are you not locked in? Saya and Happ have no trade clauses. Saya is one of your better bats. Happ has been one of your better bats, but those are run-producing corner outfield spots. You're pretty committed to PCA. He told us that he's been told anything he gives them offensively is a bonus. And they have Bellinger, who could just opt in, and he's got $50 million plus on his contract the next 2 years. So they'll probably try to trade Bellinger, but who's trading for a guy who may not come back from this injury and produce and may or may not opt in for that deal? Like, if he was healthy and raking, I think you'd be able to get a lot for him. But he's unhealthy and not playing and has been pretty inconsistent this year and not shown a lot of power. I don't think you're going to get much for Bellinger, if anything. So I think your outfield is pretty cemented. Bush at first base, you traded for already. He's young, he's cheap. He's having a great year. Nico and Dansby are under contract. In theory, you could trade Nico's contract pretty easily. But that is going to be complicated in terms of, like, he's everything that you want in a player. Dansby's having a bad year. And then, obviously, catcher's been a disaster. And Morel has been, you know, very hit or miss and bad defensively. But we'll be joined now by John Morosi on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. What's up, JP?
Happy trade deadline weekend, Danny. How's everything going?
Oh, it's going well, my friend. Lots to get into here with you. What are you hearing about CAA and Garrett Crochet's demand, request, that if traded, he wants a contract extension or else he will refuse to pitch in October, and how that is impacting the likelihood that he, in fact, gets dealt at all?
Yeah, Danny, it's a really important question. It's certainly been one of the big topics in the industry the last 24 hours. Credit to John Heyman for his report. I spoke with somebody last night who was familiar with Crochet's plans and basically affirmed what John had reported, that that's what Crochet's plan is. I understand this from the player's perspective that, first of all, he's doing something at the major league level in terms of the number of innings and the starts because of the time he missed and the pandemic season. It was a very unique time to enter pro ball, that basically he is comfortable with the workload that he's been given to this point. He doesn't want to go to the bullpen because he's comfortable in this role of being a starter every fifth day. He likes this, but he doesn't want to go beyond where that number is if he feels like he's going to potentially jeopardize his long-term health/earnings potential. So that is his thought process, according to what I've been told. We can agree, disagree with that line of thinking. I think he's obviously entitled to manage his own career as he sees fit. And I will say this, it's better that this is put out there now as opposed to he gets traded to someone and then the Orioles say, hey, great, you're going to pitch game two after Burns. And he says, oh, funny thing about that, I'm actually not. And so that's...
Well, so do you think he gets traded? Do you think he gets traded?
No, I don't. Okay. I think all along it was going to be a little challenging perhaps for him to get moved just because of how much time is left on his service with the White Sox before free agency. And this looming notion of the shutdown or a curtailment of his workload, it's been out there even before John's report, which was an important report, but it's been whispered about for a long time. People were saying, well, do I really want to trade for him if I feel like he's not going to be fully available to me to pitch the biggest games of the season? And so I think right now the chances of a Crochet deal have diminished and the chances of a Scooble deal have gone up, because if the other big lefty arm out there is now less likely to be moved, and if Baltimore says, wow, I really want to have a big time lefty arm for the playoffs, and now Crochet is not an option, you might be more inclined to pay whatever exorbitant price the Tigers are going to demand for Tarek Skubal.
So is the biggest name then dealt by the White Sox Eric Fetty or Luis Robert?
I think Fetty has a better chance to be moved than Robert because he has the reliability and consistency that I think a lot of teams want right now, whether it's the Dodgers or I would think, again, Baltimore probably wants more of the swing and miss Skubal type for their rotation. Whereas a team like the Dodgers, they need reliability. They've got enough variability with guys like Glasnow at all that they need more of the reliable type that Fetty, I think, would bring. And Fetty's been really good. I mean, I think he's been fantastic for the White Sox this season. Robert has value without a doubt. I just wonder if teams look at the big picture and probably Seattle was looking at, okay, Arozarena, I know what his playoff performance is. I know what he's done over the last month. He's been playing in pretty meaningful games. He's been very productive. Whereas I just think Robert's track record is a little variable, up and down. And I think the teams going into the playoffs, there certainly are ball clubs that would want Robert. But in the last 24 hours, Danny, the Phillies got their guy in Austin Hayes, and the Mariners got their guy in Arozarena. And neither of them were Luis Robert. So I think that Robert's been part of those conversations, but we saw two potential suitors for him go off the board and find their needs elsewhere, to the point that I think that Robert's chance of a deal have certainly diminished.
John Morosi, MLB Network, is our guest. Most likely Cub to be traded is who?
Mike Tauchman. I mean, he's the most likely. I'm not sure that he'll be the highest value or the greatest value in the marketplace, but he's had a really good year. As someone that I think can play for you in multiple spots defensively, solid lefty bat. I think a team like the Yankees, I mentioned before this week that both Tauchman and Horner can address what the Yankees have as a real issue. I think that Tauchman would help Seattle as well. I mean, they're not done yet looking for bats. So I think that Tauchman, of all the possibilities, I know he's got the connection to Chicago, but I think there's going to be enough interest in him that the Cubs will feel compelled to move him. Horner's performance has picked up a little bit. I know it's, again, been a topsy-turvy season for him. I heard what you were saying about Morel coming in. I think that's a big piece for the Cubs. Do they make enough moves that potentially Morel has a clearer spot to playing a position that's not third base and being an everyday player? I think that's a big question for the Cubs. It's a team. I know this is not news to Cubs fans. They've been one of the most disappointing teams in baseball this year. They were supposed to be so much better than they have been. And I for one, am looking at this roster saying, I'm not sure how clearly their path is to being better than even the Pirates in 2025.
All right, well, yeah, because that's the issue, right? If assuming they're locked in at shortstop because they can't move Dansby, they're locked in at first because they don't want to move Bush. Saya and Hap have no trade clauses, even though John Heyman said there is some talks about Saya. Feels like they're committed to PCA. I would imagine you can't trade Bellinger when he's hurt and he's got player options. Second base, I don't want him to trade Nico, and that's not a position that's easily upgradable on offense. Then catcher's been a disaster. Morel's been what he's been. Soto, by giving him $300 million? Like, how does this team inject offense this offseason, and where do they inject it?
It would have to be really expensive, to your point. They would have to either, and one of two ways, either you invest a ton of money in Juan Soto, and by the way, I think that number, I think it's going to be closer to $400 million.
Okay.
If I just had to, July 26th, what is your guess as to what it's going to cost? I think that number is closer to four than it is to three. And I realize it's going to be unique for the Yankees to balance what they're already paying Judge and Cole to an extent with what they're going to be paying Soto if they bring him back. But that's the cost to do business right now, especially in a world in which for 1 year at least, a DH only in Ohtani gets $700 million. Now, I realize there are other reasons why he got $700 million, but that's where he's at right now. I think that the other piece is, do you use some of your prospect capital to then trade for a younger catcher? One name to look at is Marchand, who is with the Phillies, who isn't really playing in the long term because they've got Realmuto. He's a guy that I think could potentially be a fit for the Cubs. Other teams that have a catching surplus, again, the Orioles are one. Samuel Basayo, let's see if he's still an Oriole by 6 p.m. on Tuesday. But if he's still an Oriole by that time, he's someone that they believe can catch. And they got a guy by the name of Rutschman who's going to be their guy forever behind the plate. So I think that's a natural potential trade fit. But I think that their internal guys, the ones that they are trusting in a big way. And look, Swanson's not going to be this bad back-to-back years. He's had a bad year. He's had a bad year. He's not a bad player. And that's what I feel about Dansby. I think he still has some really good baseball left in him. And it just hasn't been in 2024. The pitching, I think, has been okay at times. But they probably need to reinforce that, especially if they end up moving Tyone, depending on what the market reveals. I think it's, to me, Danny, it's a fascinating market because there are these teams, like the proud teams that have not wanted to acknowledge that they're going to be sellers until like the last possible minute. I would say the Cubs are part of that. The Giants are part of that. The Jays have realized who they are, I think, already. But now it's time for these teams to put their guys out there and see if they can at least do the express rebuild. And by that, I mean trade your tie-ons, trade Talkman, for example, other guys that are coming towards the end of their time, and then bring back the younger players who are basically major league ready, but are blocked or are not necessarily going to start and make key contributions for playoff teams right now. That's what you've got to do if you're the Cubs or the Giants, and let's see if Jed Hoyer and his group can get that done.
Have you heard anything about Saya and waiving his no-trade clause?
I have not. Not at this moment in time. I do think, again, you know, Seattle could be an interesting fit where maybe that's a spot. I still think they need way more offense than just Randy Arozarena. So I would keep that possibility open. But I have not heard a team imminently acquiring him where he would want to waive his no trade. And again, you would think that it'd have to be a larger market team. Maybe the Yankees. That's worth thinking about. But again, I think if the Yankees and Cubs get together on a deal, it's more likely to include Talkman or Horner than it would to include a Happ or a Suzuki.
Are you expecting an active deadline or a boring deadline?
Active, for sure. And I think, you know, there's different ways to describe what active means. I think that today, seeing already some significant bats move, like Arozarena is a dude. And I know he hasn't had a great season, but he's one of the most electrifying big moment performers that we've seen in the game in the last 5 years. And so that was very meaningful to me. It was a fascinating winner for winner trade between the Phillies and the Orioles. I mean, they might match up in the World Series, and they're flipping that trade Hayes for Sir Anthony and Pache. So it's a very interesting trade, I thought. And I still think the Tigers are a team to watch. I mean, Flaherty has had a sub-3 ERA, and he's a free agent. When the season is over, he's probably going to get traded, I would say, like with 90% confidence. And then the Scooble deal is fascinating. Either it's going to happen with Baltimore or someone else gets desperate and gives them a crazy offer. But I think that's really a staring contest now between the Orioles and the Tigers. I still think it's 60-40 he stays in Detroit, but it's a non-zero chance that we've got a blockbuster trade coming up in the next several days.
John Morosi, MLB Network, always kind enough to join us during the busiest time of the baseball season. Thank you, sir.
Danny, have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for everything.
All right, you too. I'll talk to you soon. That is John Morosi. We've got Mark Grody from the first padded practice at Halas Hall in 15 minutes. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Lockport High School's CM Punk. Most famous Lockport alum? It's probably Punk. I think you got it.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
Afternoons on the Score.
Welcome back. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. I'm very confused by Taylor McGregor's timeline right now. Can you give me a confirmation from someone else here, Shane? She says Cubs roster moves. Something about Thomas Nito. Okay, 10-day IL. Christian Betancourt selected from AAA Iowa. Okay, fine. Then she says Ben Brown transferred to the 60-day injured list.
I think it's just about, like, it's still retroactive to when the initial DL spot was created.
Well, right, but she also has him throwing a bullpen today.
Right, so I think it's just moved to the 60-day DL to make more space, but he's still eligible to return at the same time. Like, I don't think going to the 60-day resets the clock for another 60 days.
It definitely can be retroactive to when he went on the injured list at the beginning, but it would seem like that is moving him away from playing as opposed to towards playing. But obviously, the bullpen sounds like a good... It's just weird, right? Those two things are in conflict in terms of good news, bad news.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what it means.
60-day IL, bad news. Bullpen today... Good news for Ben Brown. But yeah, you're right. It is probably just a procedural thing to open up a spot. But
clerical. I think probably clerical.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. Man.
Because the bullpen tweet came after
right.
the announcement of the 60-day.
Okay, so at least there is no setback in his throwing regimen. So we can at least say that if he is still throwing. Because, man, I mean, this season, like I said, it's over. But they do need that guy. He is a huge piece of their future. An absolutely huge piece of their future. So hopefully that's all right for him. Thank you again to John Morosi for coming on the show. Just a piece of good baseball news, man. Just a piece of it. Oh, the industry thinks the White Sox nailed this trade. Oh, the industry thinks the Cubs nailed this trade. Oh, this guy was unexpectedly healthy and came back soon and performed and overperformed. Just some piece of good spot. So, yeah, this basically just clearing. Betancourt wasn't on the 40-man. So it clears a 40-man spot for Betancourt, and there's still no setback necessarily on Ben Brown's timeline. So, yeah, just a procedural thing. Okay. So hopefully all is well for that guy because, again, I want to see him pitch the rest of this year. Like after the deadline comes and goes and we'll see where they sit in the standings, probably last, we'll do a lot of what's relevant the rest of the year for the Cubs. Ben Brown's pitching, that's relevant. That is absolutely going to matter. Can he pitch well and can he stay healthy through the end of the season? He'd be very, very, you know, PCA offensively. Like Ben Brown, though, would be very, very high on that list. So hopefully we get to see him back at Wrigley Field much sooner than later. Busy day for the Bears, including Roma Dunze returning punts. We will hear from Richard Hightower and ask Mark Grody what he saw next on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.